everyone. It's April, and Tony and I are back this week to do some talking with Veronica and to catch you up. I think that you guys are probably a little bit behind, but Miss Biddy was in dire straits. White blood cell count was high, liver enzymes were high, and she was starting to have high readings in her kidneys. And you know, all the vets were looking at me like, well, you know, it might be time to let her go. And I just couldn't do it. I called here in Los Angeles, it's veterinary work is very expensive. And the vet that I had her at was outrageously expensive. But there is a veterinary office in Palmdale, which is about an hour north of Los Angeles, and I've used them before for my tortoises because they do exotics too. They're open every day of the week for all year long. They're never closed. Even on Christmas, they're open. And they're open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And their prices are about 50% of what they are here in Los Angeles. So I called them and I made an appointment to go up. I thought, well, you know, maybe I can get some different perspective at least. And the guy who came in, he suggested that we hospitalize her and put her on an IV. And I said, oh, but that's it's way too much money for me. And he goes, well, we have a thing here. He says, we do 4 hour a day hospital stays, which is half the price for them to be here. And it's $120. I'm like, huh? But of course you have to pay for the IV and everything, but way different than being in Los Angeles proper. So we did it for 3 days. I drive the hour up there. Treatment actually took about 6 hours in total. I hung out in Palmdale, had a nice little shopping spree in Palmdale. I was waiting for 3 days straight. The first day when I brought her home, she would eat a little bit before I had to syringe everything. Second day, she walked around. And when we woke up in the morning, she jumped out of the bed and ran into the office on her own. Yesterday, same thing. Yesterday was the first day that I didn't have to go to get her fixed and stuff. So the treatment worked because we took a blood test and all of her blood work was in high normal range, the normal high. So it wasn't in the tragic area anymore. So the vet said, he said, I'd like to do this liver protocol with her and we're going to keep doing the meds and everything. He said, I suggest you still do the sub-Q stuff under her skin every night for a little added stuff. And we're going to see where she's at in a month. He said, and maybe we'll have to do another treatment. Maybe she'll be in normal ranges. We don't know what she's going to be in a month. But he definitely says she's not in any dying mode right now. Her blood is good. So we're going to try to keep it that way. So I've had to change her whole diet. I've got protocols I have to do every couple of hours, but I'm gladly doing it because her little face looking at me every day is something that I really don't want to lose. So I'm telling all of you to never give up. I was ready to give up and say, okay, I just have to let her go. But things somehow have a way of working out, especially if you're supposed to be doing what you're doing. And I have found that seeing her improve every day has done marvelous things for my heart. I mean, I'm just glad that I'm getting the extra time because if I hadn't done anything, I'm positive she would have passed by now. But she's getting a little stronger every day. She's a little stinker, but I love her to death and I'm willing to go the distance for it. And fortunately, I was found a way I could do that without, you know, breaking the bank because, boy, veterinary stuff is expensive. It probably is all over the place, but I was just flabbergasted at the amounts of money they were expecting from me. But otherwise, I am on the mend with her and she is on the mend with me and here we go. So I'll keep you guys informed, but I am in relief mode today. Exhausted, but relief mode that she's not suffering. She's having a nice day. And when we finish doing the radio show today, I'm going to try to get some more food down her. I even have appetizers, like a liquid appetizer I give her and she's on anti-nausea stuff because I understand that when they have high levels like that, they're very nauseous all the time and that's why they won't eat. So anyways, Tony, how's it over there? How's your little baby? Cody?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I have puppy brain right now.
All right.
He's doing fine. He and Q are playing a lot. And so far, so good, knock on wood. And, you know, we're off the four-hour feeding, thank goodness. And he is eating, which was my biggest worry. We did go to the vet last Friday. They thought he was the cutest little thing. And he weighs 2 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And Q weighs 13 pounds.
Wow, you can almost put him in your pocket.
Pretty much. And wow. Q looks so big compared to Kai. So big.
Oh, I bet. 13 pounds. That's a whole 10 pounds she's got on him. 11 pounds.
I know. So... all is good.
Well, hopefully she's being gentle.
She is. I think I sent you a video of them playing.
Oh, I have to check my stuff.
Yeah, I think I did. It's very cute to watch.
Well, a little 2 pound little pup, you know, she's like a little pumpkin over there. This is a teeny thing. It's going to be fun to watch. Okay. Just the walking is going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a little car seat in the car, and he likes that. He doesn't want to drink out of his bowl. He wants to drink out of my water thermos. Oh, it's
of course.
Funny.
Of course. Yeah. And of course, you're indulging everything.
I am. No problem with that.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go get Veronica. And say hello to everybody for me.
All right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. You know, I always say we have great questions because we do. And I encourage you to write in. You know, don't be shy. We'll get your question on the air. But write in to innerwhispersradio.com. And that's INNER, whispersradio.com. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. Good day to you.
Good day to you. Our first question is coming from John. I am an avid fisherman, but recently found myself feeling guilty about killing fish. I catch, even though they are one of my favorite meals. Do the fish understand what's happening to them?
Yes, they do. Fish are part of a hive mind. Their consciousness, they share consciousness. And if they say you've got two fish and one passes away, the consciousness of the fish that passes away moves into another fish. So their consciousness level is always consistent. Their bodies oftentimes either get caught and eaten or they get caught and eaten by other fish, bigger fish than them. So you have to understand that the fish coming in do understand the hive mind situation, and they are not even upset when they cross over because they're immediately back in another fish's body. So there is no upset here. And there are a lot of different animals that know they are part of what one would call like a food chain. And they are prepped for that ahead of time. And they are able to move their consciousness. Birds do the same thing. They move their consciousness. So there is no fear of being eaten by a human, so to speak. The consciousness realizes that it's happening, and immediately the consciousness moves to another. Or they find themselves with a whole cache of fish eggs, and they wait for one to be born. So the consciousness is not disrupted at all. And there's no feeling of death, there's no feeling of pain, the consciousness just leaves. And that is pretty much the case when you are in a hive mind culture, as a fish is, and the consciousness moves from one to one. It's a little bit different than the human consciousness and death moment, very different. But go ahead, John. They are part of the understanding and there is no problem.
Okay. Our next question is coming from Nancy. Are spirit guides our higher selves, or are they different entities that answer our questions?
Spirit guides are not your higher self. Your higher self is indeed your higher self, the higher perception of your frequency while you're in physical reality. They come in and answer questions, and these are spirit guides, completely different. And angelics are also separate from spirit guides. So you have the angelics, you have the spirit guides, and then your higher selves. The higher selves stay with you all the time. The ones that are coming in to help, your guides, they're answering your questions, just like we answer your questions. We are a guide to all of you without having to call upon the higher self. The higher self is very valuable and does a lot of things, but it doesn't do that.
All right. Kathy would like to know, what can possibly be the soul's purpose in choosing to participate in linear places like the Middle East, where there's war and devastation?
A lot of energies choose to come in during that time because great growth can be gleaned, and the higher, more advanced frequencies will come in to help those younger souls that sometimes pick it unbeknownst to them that they go into it, and then they're there in this bad situation. Higher energies will come in and want to participate in things like that so they can be of help, to have the experience for appreciation's sake, and bring good energy into a bad environment. And heal. A lot of ancient healers come into those kinds of places too to help the individual energy who might not be having a good go of it and help them too. That's why they come in. And there can be so much more growth gleaned from a difficult situation than sometimes an easy situation. So there is that element as well.
Okay. Annette would like to know, I have spoken to my mother in my dreams. I can remember some of these conversations and would dearly love to speak with my dad. Is it possible to speak with him as well? Read out
it
loud.
It should be. It should be easy to talk to him as well, but each soul that goes to the other side has different abilities, different levels of awareness. And your father, it looks like, as we look at the energy of this, your father does not have the clarity quite yet to do so. Your mother, you know, she was always the one who fixes everything and gets everything done. That was your mom. She immediately, upon arriving on the other side, wanted to communicate and made it her business to find out how to do it, and then pursued it quite a bit to get it to where she could talk to you in the dream state. Your father wants to as well. However, he's not quite as adept at the procedure yet, but we do think you're going to hear from him, but it's probably going to take him a little bit longer because each incarnate's energy has a different experience with this. Some find it easy and some spend a long amount of linear time trying to figure it all out. Most of the time they do figure it out, but each one is different. Your mom was very quick to adapt. Father, not as much. He will adapt, but it's just going to take a little more time. So, Annette, anticipate talking with your dad. Get some questions ready because it might be a quick in and a quick out. We don't know. And you would be able to have to ask him a few questions if you like. So await that. And send some good energy his way. Send some good thoughts his way, saying, I'm rooting for you to be able to figure this out. That would be helpful to him.
Okay, Veronica, that was our last question. If you'd like to take a break and come back and give the message to the world, that would be great.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Your questions were great. And, you know, as I always say, if you want more information on any of these questions, feel free to write in to innerwhispersradio.com. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. Well, as we look at the energy of this day, we would like to repeat something to all of you. Slow down. slow down your day. You all have been trained since birth to go 100 miles an hour on any given day. And most of you, that's what you do. But going at that speed, sometimes the reality will blur a little bit and you're not being as clear as you should be. There's no need to rush, running from one thing to another, and everyone in the culture seems to do this at one time or another, just going so fast they don't even know what they're doing. Slow down. Now, we know some of you work and there's high tension at work and you got to do this, you got to do that. Start to create an atmosphere for yourself in your home or in your own space where you take a day once in a while with no agenda. Nothing you have to do really, other than be. And in that, try to again stay away from all the electronics and just be with yourself without all the extra energy pushing you to do this, that, and the other. Because a lot of the time, most of you end up chasing your tail during the day in that process. Slow down. Take time to breathe and appreciate the breath. A lot of you haven't breathed deeply for a while. You should take some deep breaths and really get the oxygen flowing through your body. It's a maintenance thing, but we think it's a necessary one. Start today to create a time stamp or a time element where you slow down and walk through your day instead of making it a relay race, running from one thing to another, faster and faster and faster. Your culture is very speedy. You have to fight that. That's an element you have to fight. If you'd have been born in the 1500s, it might be a little slower. But this current time culture is spinning out of control with speed, and your energy is having a really hard time keeping up. And by the end of the day, you're completely exhausted from trying to keep up with all the elements of speed that you have at your footsteps. So slow down. Create a space time. If you can't do it regularly through your day, create a time where you can. Your biology needs it, your thoughts need it, and your soul actually would like it too. So make a day today, and every day find time to slow down. It's important.
Well, thank you, Veronica. It's a beautiful message. Good advice. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. We'll be back with you next week with more questions. Until then, have a good weekend. Bye-bye.